Welcome to the London Futurist Podcast. In the 4th century BC, the Greek philosopher Plato theorized that humans do not perceive the world as it really is. All we can see is shadows on a wall. In 2003, the Swedish philosopher Nick Bostrom published a paper which formalized an argument to prove Plato was right. The paper argued that one of the following three statements must be true. 1. We will go extinct fairly soon. 2. Advanced civilizations don't produce simulations containing entities which think that they are naturally occurring sentient intelligences. This could, of course, be because it's impossible. Or 3. We are in a simulation. And the reason for this is that if it is possible, and civilizations can become advanced without exploding, then there will be vast numbers of simulations, and it's vanishingly unlikely that any randomly selected civilization, like us, is a naturally occurring one. Some people, like me, find this argument pretty convincing. As we'll hear later, some of us have added twists. But some people go even further and speculate about how we might bust out of the simulation. And one such person is our friend Roman Yampolsky. Roman, welcome to the London Futurist Podcast.
Thanks for inviting me.
It's a real pleasure to have you here, Roman.
Look forward to discussing it.
So, Roman, you've just published a paper on this subject, how to bust out of the simulation. But before we get into that, why don't you introduce yourself, your background, what you do at the moment?
Sure. I'm a computer scientist at the University of Louisville. I also direct local cybersecurity lab. So it's a very natural extension for me to go from, oh, this is an interesting topic, to seeing how is this a cybersecurity problem? How can we hack this software simulation? In the paper, I don't look at evidence for it or against it. That's not the point. I go, if we are in a computer simulation, can we do something about it?
And what's your view about the possibility then of finding ways to hack ourselves out of a simulation, assuming that that's what we're in?
It's a first paper on this topic, so it would be surprising if I also solved the problem in that paper. But I think there is potential to research this possibility from multiple domains, not just from computer science, but from physics as well. It's an interesting philosophical question. So I definitely think we should at least give as much effort to this as we do to the simulation hypothesis itself. I think every scientist, every philosopher has said at least something on this topic. If it's not a tweet, not a blog post, maybe a whole paper, but everyone kind of devoted a little bit of energy to it. So it seems reasonable to put at least as much effort into looking around, seeing if we can actually hack it.
Well, before we get into whether we could, and indeed whether we'd want to, do you actually think we are in a simulation?
I'm pretty convinced. I wouldn't say 100%, but I'm very certain. I really like this idea of retroactive placement in a simulation, where if one day we will have this technology, it's affordable and it works. I pre-commit right now to create billions of simulations of this exact moment, just to make sure that we are.
So that's a kind of a benign version of Rocco's Basilisk, isn't it?
All these ideas, you can connect them from Christianity to that, to this idea. Yes, there is a lot of similarities between them.
I appreciate you don't want to spend too much time on this, but why do you think we are in one? What's the main argument?
We can look at it from multiple directions. From point of view of physics, when I look at quantum physics, it reminds me a lot of what we do in games and virtual worlds in terms of privileging the player observer, in terms of generating graphics on demand, in terms of optimizing for experiences of the user. We don't even render things which are not observed. That seems to be similar to some of the experimental data we get in quantum physics. There are very strong problems with standard evolutionary algorithms. If you run genetic algorithm, it stops doing anything fun after about a week or two. That's why no one runs genetic algorithms for 50 years. We have them for 50 years, but no one does it long term because it's kind of useless. Whereas engineering definitely works. We know how to design robots, how to create maybe not human level, but AI. So that seems to be another good reason to think that there is a little bit of engineering taking place. And we can look at other angles philosophically. Heart problem of consciousness can be addressed pretty well if you have this idea of a player in a simulation. We can go on, but I think that gives you enough of a flavor to why it might be the case.
Yeah, fair enough.
There are people who say that this is pseudoscience, that if we are speculating about a layer beyond our current reality, then it's meaningless. Some quite eminent people have said this, and they say we're all wasting our time in any such speculations. What's your response to that, Roman?
I think what we're doing is actually bringing theology into science. So AI boxing is a very standard scientific problem in AI safety. If you have an intelligent agent, how can you place it in a virtual environment for safety and security purposes? Investigating how they can hack that safety protocol is the most scientific thing you can ask in AI safety. It's one of the first solutions people propose for controlling and studying intelligent agents. And to simply invert the problem doesn't make it pseudoscientific at all.
I confess this is one of the reasons I was particularly interested in your paper, which is that we should discuss to what extent can powerful AI that might be dangerous, that might be uncontrollable, to what extent could such an AI be confined in a box, as has been said. And the fact that most people have argued that no such confinement would be possible has a resonance with what you're researching. And any time two different fields turn out to have similar arguments and similar discussions, there can be fruitful new insights.
Exactly. So either we're going to learn how to escape our simulation, or we're going to learn how to keep those things contained for safety purposes. So it's a win-win situation.
Normally, people say that the smart superintelligence could break out because it has superior knowledge of physics to us. It might break out of any confinement we place it in. Or, more likely, it will use its superior knowledge of psychology. It will cajole us, it will plead with us, it will threaten to do terrible things to us if we don't let it out, but it will find somebody else who does let it out. So are you thinking in similar terms as mechanisms to break out? Are you going to plead with the simulator? Are you going to try and find new versions of physics to escape the limitations you think that you are in?
Pleading we tried for a while, that doesn't seem to work. They also don't seem to care too much about suffering at the local level. So maybe getting help from superintelligence will allow us to better understand physics of the simulation and find useful exploits.
Yeah, this is a strong break of the parallel of the two boxes, isn't it? That in the case of the AI in a box, it is smarter than us. In the case of us in the simulation, we are less smart than the simulator. So it should be much easier for an AI in a box to escape than it is for us. And you mentioned that the simulators don't care much about suffering, and they really don't, and they don't care about really extraordinarily unfair suffering, which makes you wonder a little bit about their motivations generally.
You can write a whole paper surveying possible reasons for why you would run a simulation, from basic entertainment and science to testing, training, investigating culture, investigating how civilizations create superintelligent systems. Really, there is no limit to possible ideas in that. You are completely correct. We could be in a situation where the simulators are much more intelligent, and even once we create superintelligence at our level, it would not be competitive. But there are options. Maybe the simulation is only safe for human-level intelligence. Maybe what we need to get some results is achievable with just normal level one superintelligence, let's put it. Maybe it will continue improving, and after so many iterations, it will reach the level necessary to compete with external forces. It's very hard to do safety. You have to consider every conceivable exploit. It's a lot easier to hack. You just need to find one exploit. So I'm optimistic that in the long term, we are likely to be successful if we are in a simulation.
Is there any risk that if the simulators see we are about to break out, they might say, let's reset the simulation, it could be dangerous?
Absolutely, but I guess it depends on how far back they reset it. Could be a nice way to live longer.
Or find yourself in Groundhog Day.
Perhaps we already are.
Yeah. I am quite taken by this concern that the simulators either don't care about gross suffering, or they're not able to do anything about it. As Woody Allen said, I think, in one movie, the trouble with God is he's an underachiever. And the trouble with the simulators is that they're either underachievers or they're astonishingly callous to allow child leukemia and mass starvation for generations and generations. They're not very good at their job one way or another.
Of course, we don't know what it's like in the outside world. We design games where we try to make them scary on purpose, or we try to make interactive tactical experiences where they buzz back or maybe even give you mild electrical shock. It's quite possible that as technology improves, you can make very safe but very experiential simulations in which you do suffer suffering and really do get a lot of physical pain, and you know it's going to end, so it's very different level of psychological torture.
Yeah, but in our games, we don't make non-player characters which can actually suffer. And in our movies, we use actors rather than putting people through actual cases of torture. At least that's what most of us do.
We do what we can with technology we have developed. I'm sure once we're at more capable NPC AI development level, NPCs will become that much more interesting.
But I really hope that I would never design a game in which there are characters inside it who are conscious and who experience the kind of pain that Callum has described. I would feel I'd gone terribly immoral, terribly selfish in such a circumstance. Of course, I can't imagine what kind of considerations might be going through the heads of a creature who might be much more intelligent than me, but it makes me shudder, I have to confess.
It all depends on the scale of pain in the real world. It all depends on how relatively bad this is. So many people experience terrible nightmares just from sleeping, and we don't spend a lot of resources trying to fight against this unfairness and injustice because it's kind of not a big deal. You'll wake up and you'll be fine. So it's very hard to judge anything from inside the simulation. Computational resources, what is and what is not horrible levels of suffering. You can certainly envision a world which would be, let's say, 100 times worse in terms of pain and suffering, right?
But I would push back on that. If somebody I loved was regularly having terrible nightmares, I would want to find a way to stop them having these nightmares.
All right, but again, we don't know the purpose of this simulation, so there could be specific. You're training soldiers to be more resilient. I mean, you can make up a lot of reasons for something like that.
So, David, where are you on the simulation hypothesis? Does it convince you?
My own feelings is summed up in what I've just said, that I find it morally abhorrent that there might be simulators who would design a world in which, yeah, there's lots of beautiful things in it. And so I don't think the world itself is more bad than good, but there are lots of people for whom they are terrible outcomes, and that repulses me. Is that a strong enough argument to reject the simulation? No. I see that there may be things beyond my understanding. And I am impressed by the arguments assembled by people, including the recent book by David Chalmers, who goes through quite a lot of the details. This is his Reality Plus book. He states there that he can't find a reason to refute the simulation hypothesis. It's hard to give a probability as to how likely it is we think it's true, but it's got to be a serious consideration. One in four, perhaps.
One way to get out of the abhorrence problem is to assume or conclude that actually the people who we see who are having really terrible lives, you know, people who burn to death, people who have lingering slow deaths from cancer, they don't actually exist. There's reason to think that if we are in a simulation, quite a lot of it is painted in. It's pretty unlikely that the entire universe of billions and billions of galaxies, each with billions and billions of stars, is all real. It's probably painted in. And so perhaps all the people who have terrible lives are painted in as well, and the only people who are really experiencing anything at all is us, or even me. It's actually quite easy to collapse into a sort of solipsism with this theory.
It's mind-stretching, agreed. And hopefully, one day, an AI, a super intelligent AI, if not a human before that, will explain to us and convince us what the real basis for consciousness is, and we will no longer struggle with this hard problem of consciousness. And at that stage, then we may make progress with exactly this kind of question.
This business about the rest of the universe being painted in is one of the reasons why I think the simulation hypothesis is probably correct. I think it's the best explanation of the Fermi paradox. Enrico Fermi asked the question, we live in this enormous great universe with so many stars, and many of them should have planets around. Of course, we know most of them do have planets around them. So there ought to be an awful lot of intelligent life, unless there is something really quite extraordinary about the development of intelligent life, and there doesn't appear to be. Where is everybody? Was his question. I think the best answer to that is that there isn't anybody,
there isn't anybody because the whole of the rest of the universe has been painted in. Other explanations of the Fermi paradox are often things like we're in quarantine, there's lots of aliens around, but they're keeping us from knowing about them because they think it would freak us out. David Bowie once made that argument in a song. And that the universe is very big, and so it's difficult to send a message across it. But to me, if there's an awful lot of intelligent life, then some of it would break the quarantine. It seems implausible that every single civilization would obey any given rule. And if you want to send a message across the universe, a good way to do it is surround a biggish star with enough satellites, big satellites, planet-sized satellites, bigger than that, which orbit in such a way that they send out pi, or some other basic mathematical signal, in the form of light. And that doesn't fade much with distance, and it only goes at the speed of light, but that's reasonably fast for getting information across at least one galaxy. And the fact that we don't see any of that going on, we don't see any form of galactic engineering, even though you wouldn't have to get many thousands of years more technologically advanced than us to start doing that kind of thing. And it's unlikely that we're the first intelligent civilization, just statistically that seems implausible. So it does seem to me that the fact that the universe does seem to be empty is a pretty good piece of evidence, not conclusive, but pretty good evidence that we are, in fact, in a simulation.
So what do you think of that argument, Roman? Is that part of your weighing things up?
I'm actually confused by it. If I was doing a simulation, why would I simulate all these irrelevant parts which are outside of my light cone? What do I care?
Well, you haven't. You've just painted them in. And who knows why they want us to believe that we're in a virtually infinite universe. Maybe there's something about intelligent life that when it gets to a certain point, if it thinks it's the only one, it starts to go crazy, or it starts to get very suspicious about how it all happened. Maybe it's just easier to fool an intelligent civilization that it's naturally occurring if you pop it into what looks like a very, very big universe where lots of things can happen by random chance.
But you're saying that this is what convinces you we are in a simulation, in fact?
I think it's a piece of evidence. It's a piece of evidence I find quite compelling, because I don't know of any other decent explanation for the Fermi paradox.
You don't think just superintelligence killing them all is sufficient? They get to simulation and AGI levels at about the same time?
So you mean that there's the sort of the dark forest idea?
That every species develops an AI, and that AI is uncontrollable and destroys them.
Yeah, that's plausible. And I just very much hope that's not right. Even if that is right, and whenever you get to superintelligence, the superintelligence wipes you out, why would the superintelligence wipe itself out? Why wouldn't it go on to populate the universe?
Then there's the dark forest scenario, which you touched on briefly there, which is that there's a good reason for every civilization to want to hide itself very securely from anything else that might be out there. And you said it's hard to imagine that this will apply to every civilization. Surely there'll be one that's a little bit more extrovert and want to display itself to the rest of the cosmos. But maybe when a sufficient understanding of the universe is reached, even the most extrovert inclined civilization says, oh my goodness, this is so terrible, we absolutely need to hide ourselves. And so that's my own preferred reason, rather than thinking that every civilization that evolves and reaches a certain intelligence destroys itself.
Yeah, that's not a bad argument, but assuming that there are lots and lots of intelligent civilizations, some of them would know that they were about to disappear because they had reached the end of some awful genetic process, or because their planet was about to get destroyed, or their local area of the galaxy, and would want to send out a message saying, hey, we were here and we were pretty cool while we lasted. But also, there's bound to be some civilization which is just proud of itself and doesn't think anybody else is going to come along and destroy it, and feels like saying hello anyway for the hell of it. I mean, we have sent out messages to the universe. Personally, I think that was extremely unwise, and there are still people who want to do it. So far, we've only really done it with radio waves, which don't go all that far, and with space probes, which are very unlikely to get picked up. But there are people who seriously want to send out messages using much more powerful technologies and say hello to the universe. I hope they don't. But again, it makes me think that somewhere in the universe, there'd be lots of civilizations which would want to do that.
So what's your view, Roman? Do you think simulators are likely to create multiple intelligences in different star systems? Or do you think it makes sense for simulators to do as Callum has suggested, create just one intelligent species on one planet in a restricted corner?
It would really depend on the purpose of simulation. If you're studying, let's say, intergalactic warfare, then yes, you need multiple civilizations, hopefully not too far apart. If you're just curious about how we will spread out through the universe, then one is enough, good seed point. But you don't have to do it in one simulation. You can have multiple simulations, and that's the whole point. You can run thousands of those and see how it develops. Again, with respect to the initial goals of this, if this is pretty affordable, it's not a major computational commitment, you can run all sorts of fun simulations just to get a meme out of it.
So I'm hearing that you're arguing for us keeping an open mind. We can only vaguely speculate about the motivations and the constraints and the goals. We can have various ideas, but frankly, we are at an early stage of any understanding as to what's possible, and therefore we shouldn't constrain our thinking too tightly.
Absolutely. We know what we would do it for, and that's a very narrow spectrum of possibilities. We don't even have this technology yet. Once we get it, just like with all other advanced AI technology, we'll realize, oh, you can also do this cool thing with it. But for now, this is general concepts of scientific discovery, entertainment. We started talking about pain, and it kind of occurred to me there are all these communities on this planet, this universe, who really get into physical pain because they enjoy it. Obvious one is BDSM community, but also body modification, life suspensions. When I see it, it looks like a form of torture to me. But there are people who choose this because this is, I presume, is highly entertaining. If video games were available where you can experience, let's say, pain on a scale of 1 to 10 of level 4, a lot of people would play it and boast about, I took this boxing match and I experienced full level 5 punching. So maybe this level of suffering is just really cool vacation. Like some people visit Chernobyl, somebody plays Earth.
Can we pivot the conversation back to what are the implications for us trying to control superintelligent AI? Because that's surely going to be a concern in the years or decades ahead. It's not quite sure how soon. Have you got any more ideas as a result of speculating on breaking out of the simulation as to how we might approach, possibly in a novel way, keeping a superintelligence confined?
In my AI safety work, I kind of showed that it's unlikely that we can control much more intelligent system indefinitely. So this escape is kind of plan B. If we cannot do it in a simulation, maybe we can kind of cheat by getting outside and maybe changing some parameters for it. I don't see any specific techniques we can use right now to improve how well boxing works. It seems that having intelligence which is greater allows to properly control lower level intelligence. Even for us, it may be super intelligence. So kind of skipping levels, asking not our simulators, but their simulators to help out is crazy enough to also be something we can do. Maybe they not that much into suffering, but it's even harder to do social engineering through multiple levels.
But might it be possible to keep the AI in the dark about the true nature of the universe? That the AI will imagine that it's in base reality. It will not be aware that it's in a box, and therefore it won't have any inclination to get out of the box. And we could still feed it useful questions somehow. We could feed it problems of biology, feed it problems of controlling nuclear fusion, without it being aware that it was only a small part of our universe. Is there mileage in that approach to the AI control problem?
It is the dream. That's what you hope to do, where it has no idea it's even being confined. But I think even tiny amounts of data would quickly leak information about the true situation. Self-examining its source code, really examining physics, and doing local trivial experiments with its own hardware, I think very quickly it would realize. I think the quote in my paper about AI going, oh my God, you don't know you're in a simulation, is a very illustrative one.
It wouldn't be a terribly impressive superintelligence if it didn't have the curiosity to wonder how it got there and started thinking about who made me. If it's much, much smarter than us and getting smarter all the time, it's going to have the same sorts of thoughts about its origins as we do. And we've been thinking about the simulation hypothesis since Plato.
And it's very hard to come out with very big data which is sanitized from all useful information in that regard. So it's a challenge to create any type of big data, much less something so specifically tailored to full superintelligence.
I have a hunch that the creation of superintelligence is actually what this simulation is all about. And the argument goes like this. We are living at probably, well, certainly the most important time in human history to date because of the fact that AGI and superintelligence is coming. It's going to be the pivotal moment in human history, and it might be the most important moment ever in human history. The likelihood of having been born at this time is so small. I mean, obviously somebody had to do it. Somebody had to be born at this time, but the fact that it's happened to us seems so implausible that it seems to me that actually, not only is the rest of the universe painted in, but also almost all of history. And the simulation was only started very recently, perhaps yesterday. And all of the rest of history has been painted in. And it was created to go through this phase that we're in of the arrival of AGI. And so it is for the reason it's happening, the reason that the simulation was made, was to create AGI. And I suspect that actually we're one of millions of simulations. And what's going on is an experiment in what's the best way to create a new superintelligence. Now, who would want to create a superintelligence? Possibly another superintelligent being, which wants to create some friends, or perhaps wants to create an army, or wants to create some helpers in a project. Personally, that's what I think is going on.
It's definitely a special time. I'm just not sure if it's specifically creation of superintelligence, capability to start running simulations with conscious beings, full solution to synthetic biology. There is a lot of interesting things we're doing.
Yeah.
So, Roman, who do you think will be the first group of people or the first person to break out of the simulation?
Well, there is a lot of people doing very cool drugs saying they've been out for years. I don't know, just claiming it is not enough. We need to kind of figure out what we would consider evidence for access to outside world. Historically, if you look at Plato's cave, if you look at the story of Jesus, those who claim to have access to outside get punished a little bit, right? So maybe it's not the thing you want to be.
Well, the richest man in the world is fairly convinced we're in a simulation, and he's got the resources to do all sorts of things about it. I know, Roman, that you've been trying to pitch to him to get some funding to develop some techniques to bust out. And I like the idea of Elon's razor. I don't know whether he ever said this, but Elon's razor is that the most entertaining hypothesis is likely to be true. So let's hope that's true, and that whatever the outcome of this particular simulation will be highly entertaining.
It already is. He tweeted that. I have not pitched him for funds for this specifically, but I hope that whoever's interested in this does contribute.
And how can people find you, and how can people find your paper, Roman?
If you just Google my name, my Google Scholar account shows up, my university website, my Twitter account.
And are you expecting that in the future you're going to spend more and more time on this field of study rather than all your work on cybersecurity? Or is this just a short detour from the, quote, real paying work?
So looking at my papers, it's hard to kind of figure out what I'm doing and what the random walk is. But reality is everything I do is about intelligence, how to create it, how to measure it, how to control it, how to detect artifacts of intelligence, how to see if it's conscious or not. So this makes perfect sense, and I'll just continue doing more in that direction.
Well, Roman, I'm not sure whether to wish you well in your endeavours to bust us out of the simulation, because I'm not sure it would be a good thing to happen to us. But it's certainly a very entertaining line of discussion.
Not only entertaining, it is throwing up possible connections between different fields of study of intelligence. And we need more help because we are still in the dark. And hopefully there will be some sparks of insight from people listening to this conversation and from people reading your paper.
If I disappear, assume a successful escape. If I reappear, assume it was a Facebook ban.
Thanks very much, Roman. Great to have you on the show.
Great stuff.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Roman.